Okay, today's daf is Shabbos Daf Ches. We are holding on Daf Zayin and Beis. We've got five lines before the end of the page. We have about exactly 1.5 dafim left of Hotza'ah, and then we move to other topics. So we just got to hang in there for another daf and a half of Hotza'ah. So it says the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, Gufa. Amr of Chista, Na'at Kana Bereshus Yachad V'Zarek V'Nachal Gaba. If a person sticks a reed into or a pole, let's say, into Rishus Yachid, and then he throws something from a Rishus Rabim, we're assuming that's what we're talking about now. Rashi says, Kasal Kadaitach Me Rishus Rabim L'Rishus Yachid. He throws something from a Rishus Rabim, and it lands on top of that pole. Afilu Gavo Me'a Amachayev. Even if the pole is 100 Amos high, he's going to be Chayev M'Nesha Rishus Yachid Olad L'Rakeh. Because unlike a Rishus Rabim, and unlike a Carmelis, the Rishus HaYachid goes, the airspace of the Rishus HaYachid goes, Ad the Rakia goes all the way up. We said by Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't go beyond 10 Tefachim by Carmelis, which has some of the characteristics of Rishus HaRabim. We said yesterday, the airspace doesn't go beyond 10 Tefachim, but when it comes to a Rishus HaYachid, the airspace goes all the way Ad the Rakia. But bottom line is, we're saying that if you're throwing something and it lands on a pole, that that's considered to be that it's resting in a Rishus HaYachid. But wait a second, where's the Hanacha? Don't you need a Hanacha just like you need an Akira from a Makom of Dalid al Dalid? Don't you need a Hanacha on a Makom of Dalid al Dalid? And over here we're talking about a pole. Presumably the pole is not Dalid al Dalid Tfachim. So how can we say that you're Chayef for throwing from a Rosh Hashram to Rosh Hashiachid when it lands on a pole? So Leimer Rav Chista Damak Rebbe. Maybe this Rav Chista is assuming like Rebbe. Titania Zark Menachal Gavizid Kal Shehu Rebbe Mechayef V'cham Potrim. We already saw the Shita of Rebbe on Dalet Amud Beis, when we were trying to figure out who could possibly be the author of our Mishnah, and we were trying to figure out, wait a second, your Yad doesn't have a din of Dalet, is not Dalet al Dalet Tfachim. So why should a Yad, and why should you be Chayiv when you do an Akira from someone's Yad or Hanacha into someone's Yad, which the Mishnah says you are Chayiv? So one of the first thoughts we had was, maybe our Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi that this whole din of Dalet al Dalet doesn't apply, that there is no such din that you need an Akira and a Hanacha from Makom Dalet al Dalet. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Maybe Rav Chista assumes like Rabbi that when Rav Chista holds that if it lands on top of a pole that's less than 4x4 tefachim, you're going to be chayiv. He assumes like Rabbi that you don't need a makom of dalid al dalid tefachim. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Yisan Tabachas Amrav Amar Abaye Bereshus Hayachid Dukaleam Lo Pligi Kid Rav Chista. In a Rishus HaYachid, everyone would agree, like Rav Chista says, Ela Hacha, meaning that you would definitely be chayiv. That Ela Hacha be Ilana Omid Rishus HaYachid v'Nofa Notel Rishus HaRabim v'Zarek v'Nacha Nofa. Over here, we're dealing with a tree that's in a Rishus HaYachid, but the branches go out into the Rishus HaRabim, and you threw something and it landed on a branch in the Rishus HaRabim. The Rebbe Savar Amrinon Shadi Nofa. Rebbe says we look at where the root of the tree is, where the base of the tree is. And the Rabbanan say we don't look at what the base of the tree is. Now, how to understand what the Gemara is trying to get at with this answer is two deos in Rashi over here. What the Gemara is really trying to say. If you look at the top Rashis, you throw something in Rosh Hashanah for Amos, and it lands on the branch of a tree. Now the branch is located in the Rosh Hashanah, but it's 4 amos away in the Rosh Hashanah. The question is, did it land on a makom dalid al dalid, or did it not land on a makom dalid al dalid? Meaning, it doesn't matter now whether the branch is in Rosh Hashanah or in Rosh Hashanah, because at the end of the day, you threw it 4 amos anyway. So whether you threw it 4 amos within a Rosh Hashanah, whether you throw from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, it's not going to make a difference. It can be chayiv. But the main issue over here is, did it land on a makom of dalid al dalid? It landed on this thin branch. Is that a makom dalid al dalid? So shadi nofo to chashiv agavi karo di ispe dalid. When we say shadi nofo basari karo, we're not talking about which rishus it's in. We're talking about whether it's considered a makom dalid al dalid. That if you say you'd look at the branch as if it is in the spot of the root of the tree, of the base of the tree, then you're saying the branch is viewed to be
a makom dalid al dalid. Ud Rav Chista de lo karebi, ud lo karabanan. And Rav Chista would be not like Rebbe and not like the Rabbanan. Meaning Rav Chista's issue has nothing to do with Rav Chista's against both Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rebbe and the Rabbanan are both in agreement that you do need a makom of dalid al dalid. And Rav Chista would hold that you don't need a makom of dalid al dalid. So it would be a strange way of answering the question. Meaning the Gemara's question was, now we're going to say that Rav Chista's locked into only the Shita of Rebbe, that we're saying that Rav Chista's going only like Rebbe. And the Gemara's answer is, no, he's not going like Rebbe or the Rabbanan. He's going like nobody, which would make it worse for Rav Chista. Normally when we try to answer, we try to say that the Amara could fit in with both Tanaim. But the way Rashi in the first day understands it is that Rav Chista fits in with neither Tana. Both of these Tanaim require a makom of Dalet al Dalet. It's just a question of how to define the makom. Do you define it by the branch that it lands on, or do you define it by the base of the tree where it landed on a thin branch? So Lish Nachrina Rashi says, however, another lashon is that Amar Rabbi b'Rav Chista tahavi b'Rishus Yachid afilu Rabbanan modu v'chi pligi Rabbanan b'shadinofa basri yikara hu depligi. That the lashon Basra says that they're arguing whether it's considered a Rishus Yachid or not. Meaning the issue of shadinofa basri yikara is not about is it a makom dalit al dalit. Meaning everyone agrees you don't need a makom dalit al dalit. The question is, is it considered a Rishus Yachid or is it not considered a Rishus Yachid when the branch goes out into the Rishus HaRabim? But in Rav Chista's case, where you definitely threw something from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus Yachid, even the Rabbanan would be modeh that you're definitely chayiv in that case, because you don't need a makom al dalet al dalet. Both Rabbi and the Rabbanan would agree you don't need a makom dalet al dalet. And if that's how to read it, then it's a more conventional way of answering a kashan in Amora, because we're saying that the Amora goes against goes like only one Tana against the other, and we'd be answering no, he's going like both Tanaim, that the Rabbanan would be in agreement as well. So essentially in the Lishna Basra, the Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan is whether it's Rishus HaYachid or not. In Lishna Kama, the Machlokas is whether the branch is a Makom Dalet al Dalet. So that's the two emphases of this branch, of the case of the branch, that's nota into a different Rishus than the base of the tree is at. Okay, two dots now. Two dots. Amar Abaye. Zarek haveres l'Rishus HaRabim. If a person throws a basket into Rishus HaRabim, gavoa yud ve'enu rechavavav. If the dimensions of the basket are that it is 10 tfachim high and it is less than 6 tfachim wide, chayiv. Then one is going to be chayiv for throwing the basket, just like throwing anything from a Rishus Yachin into Rishus HaRabim. You throw any object from Rishus Yachin to Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be chayiv. So a small basket, that's even if it's 10 tfachim high, if it's less than 6 tfachim wide, he's also going to be chayiv for throwing it into Rishus HaRabim. Rechavavav pater. But if it's 6 tfachim wide, then he's going to be pater. Now that's a great chiddush. You're throwing a kli. Why should he be pater just because it has certain dimensions? So the assumption is that the reason you're going to be pater, Rashi says, Davi Rishus Liatzma. The reason you're pater is because this basket is its own Rishus. Va'anan mi mishkan gamrinon, sheyizorkin machtein b'malachtan zelazeh. We learn the malach of Otsa'a from the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan they would throw their needles to each other. V'loa yizorkin rishios. But they wouldn't throw full rishios. They would throw small objects from one Rishus to another. But something that itself is defined as a Rishus isn't part of the Malacha, because it's not. It didn't happen in the Mishkan. Frekt Rashi vim tomer b'delogava asaranami rishus liatzmi dashmakamulus. Wait a second. Even if it's less than 10 tfachim high, it should be called a rishus. Because what do we say? If something is 4x4 tfachim wide, but it's less than 10 tfachim high, that's called a caramelist. So isn't that also Rishus? It was one of the Dalid Rishios of Shabbos. Hahi lav midar raisa have a Rishus el midar abanan. V'lo lahak el devrei Torah ba kigon zu sheifter michatas. So he says, no. That was when we said that it's own Rishus. It's called the caramelist. A caramelist is a Rishus midar abanan. But midar raisa, this is not called a Rishus. Midar raisa, this is called just a kli that you're throwing. So whenever we make a din that something is called the caramelist, it's only a chumrah. We would never be makel that something is called the karmelis. So if this would be called hotza'a, we can't say, no, it's a rishus, it's not hotza'a, because it's a karmelis. Karmelis is always a chumra. Karmelis is never a kula. That's what we said, most karmelios are a makom p'tur on a daraisa level. So it's a chumra to say that you can't carry from them to Rishus Yachid, from them to Rishus Rabim, or Dalet Amos within them. It's all mutter, it's a makom patur on a Daraisa level. Where does this distance of six tfachim come from? That six tfachim wide? So Rashi does the math for us, and Rashi says, we're talking about a circular basket. So only if it has a diameter of six would we assume that a block that's 4x4 tfachim wide, a square that's 4x4 tfachim wide, could fit into it. And Rashi points out that the math is not 100% precise, because if it has diameter of 6, then you're saying that the 4x4 tfachim block that fits into it, you would be assuming that the 4x4 tfachim block would have a diagonal of 6. Right, because you're fitting a 4x4 tefach block into the circle, so the diameter would be the same as the diagonal of that square, and it doesn't exactly work out. A squared plus b squared equals c squared, right? So four tefachim squared is 16. 4 tefachim squared is 16, so the diameter should be the square root of 32, which is a little less than 6. So he says, okay, lo duck, we're not being exactly precise when we're figuring this out, but luchumra lo duck, we're being a little more machmir by using the number of 6 tefachim to say that only when it gets to 6 tefachim are you going to be pater. So it's a little more machmir. So that's the imprecision over here. In general, this comes up in a few places doing these Cheshbonos. Rashi points out, you find it by sukkah ha'asuya kikifshan, that when you have a sukkah that's a circular sukkah, how do you figure out the minimum size of the sukkah, the definition, the three-way machlokas tanaim at the beginning of Masech Sukkah about how large a sukkah has to be, whether it's 6x6 tefachim, 7x7 tefachim, or dalet amos by dalet amos, those are all squares. So what do you do if you have a circular sukkah? So that's a sugya, Masech Sukkah, what you do, how to figure out the diagonal of the sukkah. In all of the sugyas, in Erevin, in Sukkah, in all of the sugyas where you have to figure out the circumference of a circle and how it relates to the diameter of the circle, we always assume pi equals 3. The assumption when you figure out the relationship between circumference and diameter is always that pi is 3, that the relationship is a 3-to-1 relationship. So that's what the Gemara in Erevin raises the question, how do we know that pi equals 3? So the Gemara says, we learn it from the Yam Shel Shlomo, when the Navi describes Shlomo Melech's pool, mikvah, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, the yam that he made in his own house. So it describes the dimensions of it. It says that it was a circle, and it describes dimensions as a 3-to-1 ratio of the diameter of the circumference to the diameter. So we know that it's not, that it's got to be a little bit off, that it's 3.14, etc. It goes on and on for a long time. So it's a forever. So it can't be exactly a 3-to-1 ratio. But then obviously, anyone could figure that out. This is not something that was beyond Shlomo's Chachma to figure out that it wasn't a 3-to-1 ratio. You take a tape measure and you measure across and you see that it's not a 3-to-1 ratio. You see that it's a little bit off. So why does the Navi describe it as a 3-to-1 ratio? So that's probably what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, how do I know that pi is 3? And the Gemara says, we learn from the Yam Shel Shlomo. What do you mean? Pi isn't 3, and how did Shlomo mess it up? No, and why would I need? How do I know that pi is 3? Whatever pi is, it is, you know, by measuring. Well, you need a pasuk to tell me. So obviously what the Gemara is asking is, how do I know that in halacha we have the right to assume that pi is 3, that we have the right to estimate that 3 is close enough? You're always going to estimate pi anyway, because you're never going to get it exact. It's to the decimal point. So how do I know that you're allowed to estimate that far off that it's 3? And that's what the Gemara is asking. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands. That's how the Chacham Shlomo in the back of the Gemara understands. That's how everyone understands. How do I know pi equals 3? It doesn't mean that the Gemara actually thought pi equals 3. It means, how do I know that that you're allowed to assume that pi equals 3 in halacha? There's a beautiful remez the Gra has, that in the Yam Shel Shlomo, it says that the kav, the diameter, uses the lashon of kav, but there's a kriya and a ksiv on the word kav. It's kuv vav, and kuv vav he is the kriya and the ksiv. So the Gra says the relationship between that kriya and the ksiv is between the gematria of kav and kava is the same relationship between 3 and 3.14. I think pi to like 4 decimals or so. That so the kav 106 to 111 is 3 to 3.14 or something. So he says the Navi knew full well tell exactly what pi was, trying to figure out in halacha, how do I know that you're allowed to make assumptions of what pi is? So says the Gemara, Rava Amar Afilu Ein Ruchav Avav Pater. Back in our Gemara, Rava says, even if it's less than 6 tefachim wide, you're still going to be Pater. My taima, why would you be Pater if it's less than 6 tefachim wide? Aye, it's not a Rishus then, it's not a Torah Rishus Yachid. If it's 10 tefachim high, it's impossible that some of the reeds of the basket aren't going to stick out at least a little bit above 10 tefachim. And once you have some of them sticking out a little bit above 10 tefachim, so that's above 10 tefachim is no longer the Rishus HaRabim. That's a Makom Patur. And you threw an object, therefore, not from Rishus Yachid into Rishus HaRabim, but from Rishus Yachid into a combination of Rishus HaRabim and Makom Patur. You're only going to be chayv when you throw into Rishus Rabim, because that's what they did in the Mishkan. If you throw it into some combination of Rishus Rabim / Makom Patur, you're going to be Pater. Kafa al piha, let's say you turn the basket upside down. So Shiva umashu chayiv, then even if the basket is 7 tefachim plus a mashahu, you're going to be chayiv. Why 7 tefachim plus a mashahu are you chayiv? Says Rashi, im gavoa zayin umashu on the fourth wide line, adayin chayiv, the kol shkein pchusim yikein. Certainly if it's less than 7 tefachim in a mashahu, you're going to be chayiv. But even if it's as much as 7 tefachim in a mashahu, you're chayiv. El afilu gavoa zayin umashu, dikel neymar hol mechit sell the mat of a kaimel and a lachal moshim sinai, darmin and lavud, the chimatia pachos mi gimel samut lekarka v'am ben lavud v'avi anacha akati kula ba'avi rishus rabmi v'chayiv. That you might think that, wait a second, if we apply lavud and I'm throwing it upside down into the rishus harabim, so it's an upside down cup, I'm throwing it to the rishus harabim, so when it gets in the airspace within 3 tefachim, so we should pause it right there and say, oh, now it's within 3 tefachim, we have lavud, and it's as if this mechitza is now 10 tefachim high. So we should, even though it's still going to land, it hasn't landed yet, it's like we freeze frame it when it's within 3 tefachim. So you would think lavud, and that it's hanacha, but if it's a shiva mashu, by the time you get to the lavud, you're completely within the 10 tefachim. You're completely within 10 tefachim of airspace. If it's a shiva and two mashus, 7 tefachim and 2 mashus, then you wouldn't say. Then by the time you say lavud, it's still part of it is still in the makom patur, and then you're going to be patur. And that's the Gemara's next line. Shivu mechza, if it's 7.5, and Rashi says, lav dafka 7.5, it could be 7 and 2 mashahus, then it's going to be patur. Because if you were to freeze frame it, the first moment where it's considered to be landed, when you say loved, where it's considered to have landed in the Rosh Hashanah, even though it hasn't physically landed, but it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, so it's halachically landed in the Rosh Hashanah, the top of it is still in the makom patur. Ultimately it's going to land totally within the 10 tefachim, and shouldn't you then be chayiv for bringing it into Rosh Hashanah? So Tosfos points out on the first very wide line, v'chashiv kenach ba'usoshav v'shuv einu mischayiv afgav di'achim yikein nofel la'aretz. Once it's considered nach at that moment, in that freeze frame, when it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, you're never going to be chayiv afterwards, even though afterwards it falls to the ground. U'batal men Rosh Hashanah v'nasa kamunuch b'Rosh Hashanah, even though at that point it's not going to be considered Rosh Siyachad anymore, and it's going to just be considered a kli that's landed in Rishus Rabin. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Shuvu Mechza Chayiv. My Taima Mechitzos Latochan Asuyos. Rav Ashi says, now even if it's 7.5, you're going to be Chayiv, because the Mechitzos are always those Mechitzos are made for holding something inside of it, and therefore if it's upside down, they don't have a din of mechitzos. They only have a din of mechitzos when they're right side up. So if you're turning the kli upside down, those lavud, you have to realize, is a din of mechitzos. Lavud is not a din that we say that any time you have a space of less than 3 tefachim, that a space is always viewed to be closed up. When you need to make a mechitza, it's a din of mechitza, that a mechitza that's missing less than 3 tefachim of space, we view it as if it's closed in. It's one of the rayos that the schach of a sukkah also has a din of mechitza. And we think of a sukkah that has 2.5 mechitzos or 3 mechitzos. A sukkah has actually a fourth mechitza, just not fourth wall. The schach also has additional dinim of schach, but it also has dinim of mechitza. That's why airspace of 3 tefachim on the schach is also a problem. You don't say, if it's more than 3 tefachim, you wouldn't say love it, because that's dinei schach and dinei mechitza. Okay. Now at the two dots, halfway through the page, Chesam of Aleph. Amr Ula, Amr Tishu Bereshus Rabim V'Rab Mekasman Lev. Let's say you have a 9 tefach platform in a Rishus HaRabim, and a lot of people use this this post, this 9 tefach high post, to rest their bags on when they're schlepping heavy packages. V'zorek V'nochal Gabav, and you threw something from somewhere else in the Rishus HaRabim to that post. So chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. My taima, pachos mishlosha, midrash darsi le'rabim, because less than anything, less than 3 tefachim off the ground. So that is definitely part of the Rosh Hashanah, because people always walk on it. It's for sure considered Rosh Hashanah. Mishlosha biatisha, anything between 3 and 9 tefachim. So we said that's considered a karmelis, right? Lo midrash darsi le, v'lo ksufi mikasve. Why is that not considered part of the Rosh Hashanah? Because no one in the Rosh Hashanah uses a pole or a post that's between 3 and 9 tefachim. It has no function. You can't walk over it because it's too high to step over, so you wouldn't walk over, you'd walk around it, and you can't rest your bags in it because it's too low, you'd have to bend down, you'd hurt your back. People wouldn't rest their bags in it. But Tisha, if it's exactly 9, so then it's the perfect height. Vade mikasfini lave, then you would definitely rest your bags on it, and therefore it becomes part of the Rosh Hasharabim. So Amalei Abai Rav Yosef, Guma Mai. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, great, that's when you have a post above ground, 9 tefachim above ground, so it's the perfect height to rest your bags on it. What if it's a hole in the ground that's 9 tefachim? Would you say the same din? If you look at Rashi, Gabi Rishus HaYachad Da'asara Tanya La'el Omka Kigova T'Ketanya Charetz Amak Yud V'Rachav Dal Rishus HaYachad And Avav HaMenal. When we define the 4 Rishus of Shabbos, we define Rishus HaYachad as something that's 4x4 tefachim and either 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim recessed into the ground. So in the defining Rosh HaYachid, we went in both directions. We went above ground and we went below ground. So now the shaila is, Hachamai, mi aminan manchi be bnei Rosh Hashanah mechafetzim shabiyadam ad dahadri vasu derech sham v'shakli la v'nimtzu shetzrichim la rabim hilchuch Rosh Hashanah hu. Over here, do we say that just like a pole that's 9 tefachim above ground is convenient for the use of the passersby in Rosh Hashanah rabim, and therefore it's considered part of the Rosh Hashanah rabim? The hole that's 9 tefachim underground is also convenient for use because you may want to put something away there for a little bit and come back for it later. So since you could put something there and come back for it, that would also be considered a Rosh Hashanah, part of the Tashmish of the Rosh Hashanah. So Amar Lei, V'chein Guma. So Rav Yosef says, yeah, a Guma is the same. If it's 9 Tvachim deep, it counts as Rosh Hashanah. Rava Amar B'Guma Lo. Rava says, no, we wouldn't say this by a Guma, it's only when it's above ground. My Taima, Tashmish Adedei Chak, Lo Shmei Tashmish. Because the Tashmish Adedei Chak doesn't count as Tashmish, only when something is above ground, it's easy to use it. When it's below ground, it's not easy to use it. In Shor Mitzvah and Balachim, quotes over here the Sefer Koheles Yaakov from Rabbi Yankala Karliner, the author of the Mishkanos Yaakov, says that this machlokas Abai and Rava is totally in the machlokas Abai and Rava from yesterday's daf of Chori Rosh Hashanah. Remember we said yesterday's daf that Chori Rosh Hashanah everyone agrees about. Chori Rosh Hashanah, do they have a dinner of Rosh Hashanah or not? That Abai holds that Chori Rosh Hashanah has a dinner of Rosh Hashanah. Why? The holes in a wall that face the Rosh Hashanah, why would that have a dinner of Rosh Hashanah? So Abai says, because you could use it sometimes. It's not nicha tashmishtei, it's not so easy to use, not so pleasant to use, but still it's usable. Tashmish al deir chak, shmei tashmish. That's called tashmish, that's called usable for the Rosh Hashanah. So Abai over here also would say, 9 tefachim high off the ground is very easy to use. 9 tefachim deep into the ground, not so easy. Tashmish al deir chak, Abai holds like his Rebbe Rav Yosef, that's good enough, that's called tashmish, and that's going to be Rosh Hashanah. Rava holds that it's a chor Rosh Hashanah is love to Rosh Hashanah. Tashmish al deir chak is lo shmei tashmish. That's the same machlokas. Says the Rabbi Yakovla Karlina, the Mishkanos Yaakov. Okay, so the Gemara is now going to make 2 challenges. Esvei. So we have a machlokas whether when it's 9 tefachim deep, whether that counts as Rosh Hashanah or not. So Esvei. Ravad bar Masa l'Rava. Ravad bar Masa asks on Rava. Haisa kupasu munachas b'Rosh Hashanah gavah asara urecha v'dalid ein metal lo mitocha l'Rosh Hashanah lo mi Rosh Hashanah l'tocha. Pachos mikain metaltalin. If you have a box that fits the dimensions of a Rosh HaYachid, that's 10 tefachim high, 4x4 tefachim wide, so you're not allowed to take anything from that box into the Rosh HaSharam, from the Rosh HaSharam into that box, because it's obviously taken from Rosh HaSharam to Rosh HaYachid. No great chiddush there. Pachos mikain metaltlin, but if it's less than those dimensions, then either in the height or the width, you're allowed to be metaltel. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, wait a second, you're allowed to be metaltel if it's less than those dimensions. Isn't it a karmelis? Aren't you not allowed to be metaltel from Rosh Hashanah to a karmelis? Isn't still asur midrabanan? So he said, no, we're dealing with a kupa over here. It's a box. The box can become a Rosh Hashanah Yachid when it fits the dimensions of a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Only an actual space can become a karmelis. A box doesn't become a karmelis. In term pachos miyur chavadal karmelis, he says Rashi, lo gazra banal levetule mitoras kelim ho'ul klihu. If something is a kli, we're not going to be mevatel mitoras kli and call it a karmelis. Then we just call it a kli that happens to be in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So if it's pachos mikain, you're allowed to be metalta from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to it or from it to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as long as it's less than dalet amos. V'chein beguma, and the same is true when it comes to a guma, when it comes to not a kupa, not a box above ground, but a hole in the ground. So what's the v'chein beguma? My love, asefa, aren't we saying that if the dimensions are less than 10 tefachim, that it is considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Now, when is a hole in the ground ever considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? It must be that it's 9 tefachim. So we're saying that a guma that's 9 tefachim has a din of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So isn't this a raya against Rava? Says Gemara, lo, aresha. When we say v'chein beguma, we're saying that if it has 10 tefachim deep, that it would be considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. We're going on the first half of the statement, that when it has the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that just like a box that's 10 tefachim high and 4 by 4 tefachim wide would have a din of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so to a hole in the ground that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 by 4 tefachim wide would have a din of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So that's not a good raya against Rava. Esvei, so the Gemara challenges further against Rava. So Esvei, niskavim lishvos Rosh Hashanah miniach eruva bebar lemalami yitvachim eruva erev. Let's say you want to be konesh shvisa in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The halacha is that there's a din called Tchum Shabbos, that you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amos outside of your city on Shabbos. However, if let's say you have a simcha that you need to walk to, that's 3,000 amos outside of your city, so you're allowed to make an Eruv Tchumin where you make your center, the place where you have Shvisa, not where you are right now, but let's say you set up an Eruv 2,000 amos outside of the city at the edge of where your Tchum would be, and that then becomes your center. You can then count 2,000 Amos from around there and walk 2,000 Amos from that area. Not 2,000 Amos from where you are now, from where you're located now, but 2,000 Amos from that Eruv. That's called being Kona Shvisa. So let's say a person is Kona Shvisa in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and he puts his Eruv in a bar. So now, is that Eruv going to be accessible to him? If he goes to the Rosh Hashanah, is he going to be able to remove that Eruv from the bar? Because it has to be, you're only called Kona Shvisa. The Eruv is a box of matzahs, like we have the Eruv Chatzeres. So the Eruv Tchum is also, it's a box of matzahs. So can you be Kona Shvisa in a bar if you're not going to have access to the Eruv? So lemalam yutfachim eruv eruv. If it's above 10 tefachim, it's a valid Eruv. Lematam yutfachim ein eruv eruv. But if it's under 10 tefachim, it's not a valid Eruv. Now, what in the world does that mean? Lemala, lemata, hechidami. What's the case? Ilem babar de ispeh asaro ulemala de deloiva osvei. If we're saying that the bar is 10 tefachim, is 10 tefachim deep, and when we say lemala, it means that you're magbia the eruv and you put it more than 10 tefachim off of the ground of the bar. Ulamata de tasoiva osvei, and lamata means you put it down beneath the first 10 tefachim of the bar. That doesn't make any sense. If the bar itself has the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, I don't care where in the bar you put your Eruv. You put your Eruv in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and it's not in the same Rosh Hashanah where you're trying to be Kona Shvisa. You're trying to be Kona Shvisa in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You can't be Kona Shvisa in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim by putting an Eruv in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I don't care if it's in the top of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the bottom of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It doesn't make a difference. So that can't be what we're talking about. That can't be what we mean. Where in the bar that is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid you put your Eruv? No. Elalav bibar de lesbe asara v'katani Eruv Eruv. No, we're talking about, when we say l'malam yud, we mean a bar that doesn't have 10 tefachim deep, that the ground of the bar is lamala miyud, it's above the space that would be 10 tefachim deep, that the bar itself is not 10 tefachim deep. And we're saying that if the bar is lamata miyud, meaning if the bar is 10 tefachim deep and it is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then your Eruv is not an Eruv, no matter where in the bar you put the Eruv. And if the karka of the bar is lamala miyud, meaning the depth of the bar is less than 10 tefachim, then it's like it's in a karka. Carmelis, and that's considered Tashmish L'Rabim, then it's not considered to be in a Rishus Yachim. But what do you see? That if it's 9 Tfachim deep, it can count as a Rishus Harabim. Alma Tashmish Al-Deid Chak Shmei Tashmish. The fact that you would use such a bar means that it counts as a Rishus Rabim, not a Rishus Yachim. So it's Shmei Tashmish, that's considered to be Tashmish. Says Gemara, no, Zimn Mishani Lei. So there are two answers we give to this Raya. One answer we give is, Hu Uve Eruvo Bekarmelis. V'amai Karli Rishus Rabim, L'fi Shein Rishus Yachim. No, we're talking about that both he and the Eruv are in a Karmelis. Meaning, it's not considered something that's a Tashmish for people in Rishus Rabim. He's not even trying to be Kona Shvisa in Rishus Rabim. He's trying to be Kona Shvisa in a Karmelis. And the bar also has a din of a Karmelis. That's no Chiddush, say that the bar is a din of a Karmelis when it's less than 10 Tfachim deep. But it says that Niskavin Lish, first words on the Amud, when Niskavin Lishvos, Rishus Rabim. So how can you say that it means that it's a Karmelis, that he was being Kona Shvisa in a Karmelis? Yeah, it's a Rishus HaRabim in that it's not a Rishus HaYachid. It's more a Rishus HaRabim than a Rishus HaYachid is a Rishus HaRabim. But it means that it's a Karmelis, like we had Rav Huna the other day. V'zimn mishani lei hu b'Rishus HaRabim ve'eruva b'Karmelis. And some say, and sometimes we answer the question that, no, we mean to say that he's in a Rishus HaRabim and his Eruv is in a Karmelis. But you're not allowed to carry from a Karmelis to a Rishus HaRabim. So how does that help to say that his Eruv is in a Karmelis? How can you be Kona Shvisa in a Rishus Rabbin by an Eruv that's inaccessible to you in a Karmelis? We're assuming like Rebbe, that we're called Davrishu Mishum Shvos, Lo Gazrel of Ben Hashmashos. We're assuming like Rebbe that anything that's also Mishum Shvos, anything that's only in Isumit Rabbanon, they will never go there on Shvuyos during Ben Hashmashos. Now that's a very misleading statement. It makes it sound like every Isser Drabanan automatically becomes Mutter Bein HaShemashos. Asks the Ritva, if you say Bam Madlikin, where you ever learned the Mishnayos of Perek Bam Madlikin, but certainly if you say it every Erev Shabbos, then you're very familiar with this line. Safek Chashecha, Safek Eina Chashecha. Right? When you're not sure, when it's Bein HaShemashos, Ein Ma'asuna Savada, you can't take Maestros. Ve'ein Matbilin HaSakelim, you can't do Tfilas Kelim. Now, what are those things? Those are drabbanans. Those are Yisurim drabbanans to do on Shabbos. And yet it's Asr. I thought Ein goes in Mishum Shavuos Ben HaShemashos, that there's no Shavuos during Ben HaShemashos. So the Ritva says, clearly, when it says when Rebbe says there's no issue of Shavuos, that's only when it's Letzorach Mitzvah. That when there's some need for it, but if it's not Letzorach Mitzvah, then we are Gozer Shavuos during Ben HaShemashos as well. Magen Avraham as a suffix, is this din that we don't make a shvus during Ben HaShemashos, is that only the Ben HaShemashos going into Shabbos, or the Ben HaShemashos going out of Shabbos as well? Now what's the difference either way? It's suffix yom, suffix layel, it's suffix Shabbos, suffix not Shabbos. So this Magen Avraham points out that maybe there's a difference between Ayula Yoma and Afuka Yoma in the sense that the misafik, you're not going to uproot an existing kedusha. Misafik, you'll say that the kedusha is not yet there because coming from Friday, which is Yom Chol, where there was no kedusha, so you say, okay, misafik, it's still no kedusha. I mean, for a din drabanan, for a shvus drabanan. But coming from Shabbos, where there was kedusha, to uproot a kedusha misafik, so then you're changing the chazaka. It's a cheskas Yom Kadosh, so that you're not going to go. So that's Magen Avraham in Simin Shin Membeis raises that issue. Rav Shapta also has a very nice piece in Eretz Tzvi in Siman Vav where he differentiates between a gzeira derabanan and a malacha derabanan. We only find this din that there's no shvus ben hashmashos by a gzeira derabanan, that they weren't gozer a shvus, but a malacha derabanan, because it wasn't between a gzeira and a malacha. Gzeira is don't do this lest you come to do that. That you're going to come to do something more serious. A malacha derabanan is this looks similar to something that is a malacha. So we're going to ask for this activity. Not that this activity will lead you to the malacha. It's not an activity that when you do A, you're going to come to do B, but it just looks too similar to B. Mm-hmm. So by a malacha d'rabban, we're more machmir than by a gzera d'rabban. He has many examples of how we're more machmir by a malacha than we are by a gzera. Okay, let's see weiter. And he says, and don't say that I'm just being doche you, that it's not called tashmish l'rabin, when meaning Rav is saying, don't think that I'm just being doche by giving all these answers by saying that something that's 9 tefachim deep is not considered to be tashmish l'rabim. El dafka kaminilach. I'm not just being dochu you, I really hold this way. You have to say that it's not called tashmish l'rabim. It's not, because we have a Mishnah. Im hayirakak mayim rishus rabim alechus bo. Let's say you have a puddle of water that a rishus rabim goes right through, passes right through the puddle. Hazorik l'tocha dalet amos chayiv. If you throw 4 amos in the rishus rabim into that puddle, you're going to be chayiv, because it's considered rishus rabim. V'kamu rakak mayim. How big is this puddle? Only if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's considered part of the Rishus Rabim. Urukak mayim shurishus rabim aleches bo, hazorik l'tochel dalet amos chayiv. And not only are you chayiv when you throw 4 amos into a puddle that Rishus Rabim goes right through, but you're chayiv when you throw 4 amos into a puddle that Rishus Rabim goes right through. So the Gemara says, wait a second, that's the same thing. You just said the same thing twice, right? So the Gemara says, bishlam urukak rakak trey zimni chad bimos acham v'chad bimos kshemim. I understand why you have to say the word puddle twice, because you want to tell me that both a puddle during the winter time and a puddle during the summertime, it would still have the status of Rishus Rabin, because it's Richa. I would need to be told both. If you only would have told me that during the summertime the puddle has the din of Rishus Rabin, I would say, yeah, in the summertime pools are packed. People are always going swimming. People always want to cool off, so people are always going to walk through the puddle. But maybe during the winter time, people don't want to get wet, they're just going to be colder, so they're not going to want to go through there, and therefore maybe it doesn't have a dinner of Rishus Rabim, so that's why it had to tell me even in the winter. If it would have only told me in the winter time, Tos points out you don't really need to make the second Srichsa, because it's identified Yemosak Shem or Yemosakhama in either of the statements. So if it just would have said it one time, I just would have said, okay, it must be talking only summer. So you don't really need a second Srichsa, but we have one anyway, so we might as well use it. If it only would have told me about the winter time, Agav the Mitniv Mikri Vinachis, I would say, yeah, in the wintertime, roads are muddy. So you're always, your shoes are full of mud. You always want to go into the puddle to clean yourself off. But in the summertime, you're not going to be as interested in going through the puddle. Tzricha, that's why I need to be told about the puddle twice. Elihiluch trey zimni lamli. But why does it have to say that Rishus Rabim mahaleches bo twice? I mean, just say that you have a puddle or another puddle that Rishus Rabim goes through. So elav shvamina hiluch al deit chak shmei hiluch. What it must be telling you is that hiluch al deit chak, even though it's not a natural way to go, but it's a hiluch al deit chak, that's still called going. So tashmish al deit chak lo shmei tashmish, but tashmish al deit chak is not called tashmish. Using something is not only if you're walking there, that's called hiluch, even if it's al deit chak. But to use something, that usage doesn't really normally make something Rishus Rabim. Hiluch is what makes something Rishus Rabim. So hiluch al deit chak would be called hiluch, but tashmish al deit chak, that's not good enough for it to be considered Rishus Rabim. So Rabbi says that's why I'm being very medactic over here when I'm saying that if it's only al deit chak, it is not a Rishus Rabim. Period. Amar Rav Yehuda, ha'iz yuz d'kani, if you have a bundle of reeds, a long bundle, so Rama v'zakle, lo mechayev ada akarle, if you move it in Rishus Rabim by doing this, by flipping it over and flipping it over, without ever picking it up and moving it, you just keep flipping it over, so it's a good thing this water bottle's here, so that if you keep flipping it over, so you're not going to be chayev until you actually pick it up and move it. Amar Mar, at the moment, al eskof v'noten balabais v'noten noten me'ani v'nosin lo, we said previously in the Bryson Dav of Amnal that if a person is standing by the doorstep of his house, he could take something from the balabais who's inside the house and give something to him, and he could take something from the ani who's in the Rishus Rabim and give something to him. So hay eskofa mai, what exactly is the status of this eskofa that he's allowed to pass things to the balabais, he's allowed to pass things to the ani? Ilem eskofa Rishus Rabim noten balabais hamakum Rishus Yachal Rishus Rabim. If it has the status of Rishus Rabim, well then he shouldn't be able to pass to the balabais, because then he's passing things from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachal and vice versa. Ve'al eskofa Rishus Yachal. No, it must be that we're dealing with this iskof is a rishus yachid. Well, then notel an ani. How come I am rishus ram rishus yachid? Well, then how can he take anything from the ani? He's taking something from rishus ram to rishus yachid. El iskof is karmelus. Must be this iskof is a karmelus. Well, notel the nosel lechachila. Sof surimia isa. What do you mean? Then he's not allowed to pass to either of them, because it's an isser drabanan to pass from a karmelus to rishus yachid or rishus rabim. Ella, like we thought all along, iskof a makom patur bialmahu. We have to be assuming that this iskof is a makom patur. Nonetheless, be dalit al dalit. What makes it a makom patur? It's less than 4x4 tefachim. V'chiyad v'chiyas Rav Dimi, Yom Rav Yochanan, makom shein bo dalit al dalit tefachim, mutl b'nei Rishus Yochanan, ul b'nei Rishus Rabim, l'kasif alav, uvlash li'achlifu. That if you have a makom Both Bnei Rosh Hashanah and Bnei Rosh Hashanah could put things there, as long as they don't switch things, as long as you don't take something from the Rosh Hashanah and put it on the Makom Patur as a way of getting it, as then transferring it into the Rosh Hashanah. We said that you're not allowed to have the guy in the Yiskofa take from the Ani and give it to the Bala Bais, or vice versa. And if he does, all three guys are Patur.
But shouldn't this be a tiyufta on Rava? Because Rava held that if you carry something for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, remember the airspace of Rosh Hashanah only goes 10 tefachim above ground. When I pick something up in Rosh Hashanah and I pick it up off the ground and I carry it, unless, like the Gemara said, unless you're a midget, right, you're still carrying it, you're normally going to be carrying it more than 10 tefachim above the ground. And then I put it down 4 Amos away, I'm going to be chayiv. I went through a makom patur, it went through above 10 tefachim off the ground, so don't you see, you're still going to be chayiv even if it goes through a makom patur. So why should the Yiskofa case be any different when you're passing from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah through a makom patur? Shouldn't you also be chayiv? Says Gemara, big difference. Hasam lo nach, hachanach. When you're carrying a dalet amos and you happen to be carrying through more than 10 tefachim above the airspace, that it never rests, it never stops. Over here, you put it down somewhere. When you put it down in a makom patur, that's the end of that maisa for which you're not chayiv. Then you take from the makom patur to the Rosh Hashanah. It's a new maisa for which you're not chayiv.